I believe God wants to speak to us today, and that is to remember. God, throughout His Word, calls our attention to things that He has done. And our life is, Chungu wrote this song for the church, our life is a miracle life. And we were birthed, all of our lives were birthed in the supernatural. The Bible says that when we were born again, we were not born of natural corruptible seed, but from above, from God the Father. And so it was a supernatural thing that got us started. And for the rest of our life, God wants to move in supernatural ways in our life. You know, when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, they realized that they couldn't go back because Pharaoh's army was there, and they couldn't go forward because the Red Sea was there. All right. How many of you know they needed a miracle? All right. And there are times in our life, and I'm so glad that we can walk in wisdom and we can walk in the understanding of God. But there are times in our life where we need something supernatural to happen to get us to the next place that God has for our life. How many of you would admit that right now, today, in your life, or in your family, in your business, you need something supernatural to happen? How many of you need something supernatural? I put up both hands, all right? Well, here's the thing. One of the ways that is going to help us is to remember where we have come from and what God has already done in our life. You see, this whole Bible is not just a bunch of fables or stories or things to make us feel good. It is a book of supernatural events. When our father in the faith, Abraham, was 100 years old, his wife was 90, they had their first child. How many of you know that's supernatural? You don't go to the fertility clinic, you know, with a cane and a crutch. That was supernatural. The fact that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with His strong hand, that was supernatural. When Jesus came to this world, He was born of a virgin. That doesn't happen. He died and He was raised from the dead. That doesn't happen. Our whole life is supernatural. This church and really the building that we're in and the grounds that we're walking on, it is a supernatural place. You know, I've joked about it, but I'm so glad that Pastor Newberry and his wife put miracle in the name of this church, because we're going to need it. All right. And I think about, you know, even just this church and the way it was formed. It was actually formed out of a word of knowledge that Pastor Newberry was having a meeting with someone. God put in, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke out. This was not devised by human plans. All right. When we were at our last place in the showgrounds, oh, I am so glad that showgrounds is having their week and we're not there. I told my wife every time I think that it's show week, my blood pressure starts to go up until I realized, Rodwell knows, William knows, it was hard to be where we were and for the show to happen at the same time. So hallelujah that we're here. But when we were supposed to get to that building, God had dropped that building on Pastor Newberry's heart. And he went to go see the owner, and the owner said, no, 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 no. Would keep going back. And then he said, the last time I saw him, he said, I just pointed at him. He said, I'm never going to come and see you again, but there will be a day that you're going to call me to ask us to move into that building. And sure enough, it happened. And as we knew that we needed to find this land, people told us, you know, Pastor, you know, you need to calm down. There is no way you're going to get 10 to 20 acres in this city. Lusaka has no land. But guess what? We're on the land, 20 acres that God gave us. Amen. Those of you that don't know, we paid $150,000 for this land. Hallelujah. All of this was done by the hand of God. All right. So we are this church, our lives, where we have come from as just the children of God, it is a series of supernatural events. And so the same God of the supernatural that has brought us to this point in our life, guess what? it's the same supernatural God that will take us. I feel so disturbed that sometimes when people say that the day and the age of miracles stopped with the day of the apostles. We certainly can't see that from Scripture, but aren't you glad that He's the same miracle working Jesus who was and is to come? All right. So one of the things that God asks us to do is He asks us to remember and to remember what I have done for you. Therefore, that same the fact that you're aware of that is going to help you to have faith for the future. All right. Now, we have some examples in the Bible of people who remembered and people who forgot. All right. And so the first part of this message today is basically going to help us to say what not to do and what to do. And so we'll go ahead and get the negative out of the way. But there's a group of people in the Bible that are referred to a lot, and it's kind of their legacy, is that they kept forgetting what God had done for them. And it was the children of Israel. It was the generation that left Egypt that was supposed to go to the promised land. They had spiritual amnesia. They had very small amount of RAM on their hard drives. I guess technically RAMs are not, sorry, IT people, they're not on hard. They just kept forgetting what God did for them. All right. So first of all, we want to look, because the Bible says that what they did, that God wrote these things down for us as an example of what not to do. I remember in school, when I was getting a business degree, accounting, we did a lot of case studies of businesses. And a lot of the case studies and some great books that are out there, Good to Great, a lot of what you can learn from companies is what not to do. Of how they failed. And so we're going to look at what the children of Israel did so that we don't have to go down that same path. All right. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now here, God is giving instruction through Moses. And so they had already received a whole lot of miracles, but they were going to have to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. Now, the problem was there were people in the promised land. All right. There were foreign people and they served false gods and they were going to have to be driven from the land that belonged to them. And so there were battles that were going to have to take place and there was going to be more miracles that were going to need to take place. And so God is giving them instruction to remember. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Tell your neighbor, you are a treasure. Amen. Verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh of Egypt." Go down to verse 17, still in Deuteronomy 7. "If you should say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?'" All right. So what is God doing? He's anticipating some of the things that they might be thinking, or some of the fears that they, as they begin to face Jericho and the Canaanites and all these nations. He said, you might say, "These nations are greater than I. How can I dispossess them?" Verse 18, "You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt." Notice that phrase. They are told to remember well. To remember well what God had done. "The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples who are afraid of you." So, God is telling them, remember what I have already done, because I will continue to do it for you. Now, one of the cases where we see them forgetting, and here's the thing. Typically, we don't forget during good days, but we forget when the trial starts, when we get the text, when we get the phone call, when we get the bad news. Then we begin to wonder. We begin to forget what God has done. We only see the future based on this new reality that we were just given. And so in Exodus chapter 16, they had left Egypt. They were on their way to the Canaan land, but they got hungry. All right. So there was a need that they had. And so God, they had a need, and so God needed to provide for them. Exodus 16, verse 1, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed the land of Egypt." All right? So let's do the math, right? This is only 45 days after they left Egypt. All right. You remember when they crossed the Red Sea? The Message Bible says that their feet didn't even get wet, and they crossed on dry ground. And the greatest army in the whole world, they looked back, and there they were, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And Miriam got out her tambourine. All right. And so they rejoiced and they sang. And 45 days later, here's what these guys have to say. Verse 2. "Then the whole congregation." Now this is the children of Israel going through the desert. All right. This was about the size of Lusaka. 1.5 to 2 million people. Okay. Imagine all of us in Lusaka going on a camping trip. All right. And imagine 1.5 to 2 million people, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to the full." They remembered that they were full back in the land of Egypt. But it's like, wait a second. Hello, you were slaves. Oh, we wish we were slaves and eating by our pots. "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Isn't it interesting that they accuse Moses of doing the exact opposite of what Moses is doing? Moses is taking him to the land of plenty, the land of milk and honey, provision, God's hand. "Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. We're going to die of hunger 45 days later. All right. So that was a bad day that they forgot. Let's look at another day. Unfortunately, this one is worse. You know, we're all going to be famous in life for something. Don't be famous for what these people were famous for. All right. Exodus 32. May our life not be the wrong case study. Exodus 32, verse 1. So Moses is on the mount of he's on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments. He's on a 40-day fast, okay, and God is giving him the law. "Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that will go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened, become of him.'" Verse 2, "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives.'" Now that was a bad day, ladies, huh? "Your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears." Looks like the sons had earrings, huh? Just a side thought. "And brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand. And he fashioned it with the engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then he said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" Now remember who Aaron is. He's the senior pastor. Moses is the prime minister or the president. Okay. He's the guy that the whole priesthood is going to come from him. All right. This was a bad day for Aaron. All right. Now, so this was bad enough that they form a god and they want to worship. But I want you to notice what they say about this false god. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people. Notice God is not calling him my people. Moses, your people. Okay. Your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, how foolish. That God was only created the day before. How could that be the God that brought him out of Egypt? So this was the wrong thing that they had done, was they attributed the power of God to something else. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 gives us the instruction that once we get into the promised land, don't say, when you're in these homes and the Lord has blessed you, don't say, it's the power of my might that has given me this wealth. No, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you this. All right. So they attributed God's supernatural power to a golden calf. All right. And let's just read this, because I think it's good to know what God's opinion of this is. Verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. When did God say to somebody before, I will make of you a great nation? Do you remember who he said that to? Abraham. What God was saying is, I've done this once, I can do this again. I'm just going to wipe them all out, Moses, and I'll start with you. Aren't you glad somebody said this and I believe it? It's a good thing that Moses and God never got mad at Israel on the same day. Because there were times where God said, God, I'm tired. Moses would say, God, I'm tired of these people. And God would say, Moses, come on, let's keep going. All right. But thank God, Moses stood in the gap and interceded. An amazing verse. And we don't have time to talk about it, but verse 14. So the Lord relented from the harm which he had said he would do to his people. What made him relent? The intercession of Moses. That's an amazing thing. And so thank God that Moses stood before God for the people. All right. So one time they were hungry, they forgot what God did. Moses was gone. They attributed God's power to someone else and to another foreign God. Now, there are two Psalms that recount what the children of Israel did. And so it gives us not the history, but in a sense, a commentary on what they did. Turn to Psalm 78. All right. Psalm 78. Verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. Now think about this. This is enough water for 2 million people, folks, that came from this rock. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Notice that the Bible likens doubt to speaking against God. All right? That's why God doesn't take it kindly. Verse 20, behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation. Look down to verse 40 in that same psalm. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 42. They did not remember. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Folks, this is why, in my opinion, there are many, many Sundays where what God wants to do in your life and the greatest blessing that you're going to get out of church comes before the announcements. This praise and worship team is not here to entertain you. It's not just a hot band that we can say, "Woo, that's a man. I like that song. I don't like that song." No, no, no. It's to help us remember. It's to help us to sing. And one of the greatest things about music is music touches your emotions and your soul in a higher and a greater way. Amen. And so I do this from time to time, but I think this is a good time to say it. Some of you need to give greater attention and a priority to praise and worship at this church. Amen? 80% of you were not here when church started. Right? If we were giving out, you know, $1,000 to everybody, you'd be here on time. Why? Because it's important. I'd like $1,000, and if I need to be here on time, I'll be there on time. Amen? Make it a priority. Why? One of the reasons is so that you can remember, so that you can be aware. All of the things that we sing about are about who God is and what he has done for us, and it touches our heart and our emotions, and we attribute that to God. Amen? Amen? Amen. We're helping you to remember. So, they didn't remember his power. Okay, look at Psalm 106, 106 verse 7. Again, it's a terrible thing to be famous for the wrong thing, but these guys were. Psalm 106 verse 7, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, "Our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miraculous deeds. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. Instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. Even so, he saved them to defend the honor of his name and to demonstrate his mighty power. He commanded the Red Sea to dry up. He led Israel across the sea as if it were a desert. And so he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes." Verse 11, "Then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived." Then his people believed his promises. Then they sang his praise. Look at verse 13. How quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry wasteland. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a plague along with it. The people in the camp were jealous of Moses and envious of Aaron, the Lord's holy priest. Because of this, the earth opened up. It swallowed Dathan and buried Abiram and the other rebels. Fire fell upon their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. The people made a calf at Mount Sinai. They bowed before an image made of gold. They traded their glorious God for a statue of a grass-eating bull. Verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt and such wonderful things in the land of Ham, such awesome deeds at the Red Sea. Can you see this is a big deal? Can you see this is a recurring theme in Scripture? I had a professor one time that said this: when the Bible speaks much of something, You speak much of it. All right. Sometimes we have whole seminars on things that the Bible hardly even talks about. You know, who is the Antichrist? The Bible doesn't say who the Antichrist is, so just forget about it. Okay. But the Bible says a lot about remembering what God has done for us. One of the ways, and we actually won't look at these scriptures, but there are a number of scriptures of one of the ways we're supposed to do this to remember is we're supposed to tell our children what God has done for us. We're supposed to recount to them where God has brought us out. All of the feasts of the Jewish nation and of the Old Covenant was to do that, was so that once a year you got to talk about Passover and leaving Egypt. Once a year you got to celebrate this victory. Many, many times you'll see Abraham and Moses, when certain things would happen, they said they would stop and they made a memorial. They celebrated what God had done. Why? To remember. To remember. All right? Now, let's get on the other side of this, because here, well, I want to look at an example of when David did the right thing and he remembered what God did for him. Psalm 77. Psalm 77. I want to read a good portion of this scripture, because about just over a third of this is David going through a tough time, all right? And thank God that we can identify with him. And, you know, I wish that life didn't have trials. And I wish life didn't have giants and mountains. There's a place where there are no trials and mountains. It's called heaven. And it's going to be great when we get there, but we're not there. All right. And so that's why before we get to heaven, we have this wonderful thing called faith, that we can trust God and we can walk with him. Amen. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's a good thing. In the day of your trouble, seek the Lord. Don't go back to a sin that will make you feel good. Don't go back to some other habit. Don't go back to something that's going to destroy your life. Amen. In the day of your trouble, seek the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. How many of you have done verse 3? How many of you did verse 3 yesterday? You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Or think about that. Verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. So all of these verses, 10.5 verses, David is saying how that his soul is troubled, how that he wonders if God is even alive, if God is even going to be good to him. He has the same questions that we have. But thank God he didn't stop the song there. He kept writing. And he said, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, the Bible, when it talks about the right hand of God, it's the right hand of strength. You know, most boxers, they jab with their left, but when it comes for the knockout punch, bam, it's the right hand, right? Most boxers. Mike Tyson could get you either way, all right? But the right hand of the Lord was the arm of his strength and of his power, all right? Verse 11, I will remember. Tell your neighbor, I will remember. See, Israel forgot. David is saying, I will remember. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. When you're in trouble, what do you talk about? The trouble? Talking about the trouble doesn't change the trouble. Change what you talk about. Talk about the deeds of God. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Think about that. Can you see how the mood shifts? Can you see when he gets to this part, there's a whole nother focus. Now, does David deny what he was going through? No. He had to face the facts. He had to realize, and he was honest with God. And he even talked about how that his heart was troubled. But he didn't stop there. He began to recount what God has done for him. Now, what do you and I, what can we do about this? All right? We need to not forget where we have come from. We need to not go back when we're in trouble just to human techniques. And just to say, well, God has brought us this far, and so I'm going to reach out to a golden calf, or I'm going to forget what God has done for me. We are children of the supernatural. It was kind of healthy for me, and I because all of my family has left my hometown where I grew up in. And to go back to that place and just to see all the different places, and you know, I say, oh, you know, Haley, this is this, and she says, yeah, you've told me that 12 times. But you know, but just to see all of that, and again, for 16 out of the 18 years I lived there, I didn't love God. I was the stiff-necked kid, all right. But to see where God has taken me from and brought me out of, a kid that I grew up in church with, he's in jail. Yeah, went to the army, punched the officer in the face, got thrown out of the army, and then got thrown in jail for doing something other stupid, you know? Here's the deal. That could be me. I go back there and I find people that have been married 2-3 times. That could be me if it wasn't the grace of God. Amen. And so it is good to remember where God has brought us from. So what do we remember? What are the things that we should bring to the foremost part of our attention? First of all, folks, what we need to remember is our salvation. Our salvation. Where would you be without Jesus in your life? Where would you be? And perhaps think about some of, and probably all of us, when we met the Lord, there were people that we knew, colleagues of ours, friends of ours, and when we followed Jesus, they didn't. Can you know who those people are in your life, right? Where are their lives today? Think of the disaster of where your life could be if it wasn't for Jesus. We need to also remember God's provision in our life. And you know what? I know there's a whole lot more provision out there. I know, you know, as a church, we need to build children and youth facilities yesterday. We need to build the chapel out there yesterday. And don't worry, we're not receiving an offering after this service, okay? We're gonna finish the parking lot. But you know what? The same God that brought us here will bring us there. Amen. Amen. And all of the provision, all of the help that God has been to your life already today, up to this point in your life. And are there bigger hills? Are there bigger mountains? Probably there are. And are they challenging? Yes. But the same God who has provided will provide. You also need to remember how God has led you, how he's helped guide your path and your course. Some of you realize now, you know what? I met the right person at the right time. I'm so glad I went to Oral Roberts University, not to get a degree, but to get a wife. Hallelujah. A wife that would go to South Africa when bombs were going off and to take our little baby there. And just when life got good in South Africa after 10 years, go to Zambia and move again. I'm so glad that God has led me. I'm so glad that he will continue to lead me. If you look back on your life, you can see the hand of God. You can see his leading. You can see the fruit of other people praying for you. And are there paths ahead of you that maybe you don't know which way to go? But guess what? He's led you so far, He will continue to lead you. Amen. Now, another thing that we need to remember, and maybe this is the biggest thing, because we've been talking a lot about this at Miracle Life, and we will continue to talk about it by the help of God, the grace of God, for the next 20 years. All right. And that is that God wants to take all of us to a certain place in Him of being like Jesus. All right. Of being mature in Him and being fully fruitful. But if we're honest with ourselves and we look at the reality of our life and the conduct of our life and compare it to the life of Jesus, you get weak in the knees. Right. There's a long list of stuff that needs to be changed. But here's the thing. God has already changed you. God has already transformed you. You might not be everything that you are to be, but thank God you're not who you used to be. Paul said that. He said, I'm not where I need to go, but thank God I've left. Amen. And I will finish my course and I will finish this journey with Him. God wants to transform us. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. There was a journey that the Galatians were on. They were saved. They were born again. And being saved and born again is the beginning of God's plan in your life. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Thank God for evangelism. And we need to do it more. We need to do it greater. But we need to continue that process of being like Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh or your own natural ability? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So we started off on this wonderful journey with God of being like Jesus, of allowing Him to transform our life in faith. How are we going to continue? In faith, to allow His hand on our life. We began in the supernatural. We must continue in the supernatural. We can't stop in the middle of the road and say, all right, now, God, I've got this. I think I can take it from here. I can lead my own way. I can provide for myself. I can transform my life. No, you can't. Continue to allow His supernatural hand on your life. To do otherwise would be to say that we have forgotten that He cannot bring water from a rock, food from the sky, cause us to cross over on dry ground, to heal the sick and raise the dead. That is the God we serve. He can and He will do miracles today. Today. Today in your life. What is our part? Remember. Remember. And to trust Him. All right? Now, here's what I would ask you to do. And we're going to, I want this to, we've got some time. I want us to be interactive. But those of you, and I hope you got a bulletin on your way in, all right, or you've got something that you can write on, okay? Probably shouldn't do this, but if you don't have anything, use that blue cart, all right? But find something to write on, okay? And I want you to write some things down. If we could just ask somebody to come and Sam on the keyboards. And I want this just between you and the Lord, all right? And I want you to look at those four areas of your life. And you don't have to do all four of these, but in the area of your salvation, the area of God's provision in your life, of what He has done to help you, the area of Him leading you and showing you the course and the way, and the fact that He has transformed your life. And there may be some more transformation that needs to take place, but what I'm asking you to do right now is just with the Lord, I want you to go back. And I want you to think. I don't want you to think about the future right now. I don't want you to think about the mountains that are in the way and all the stuff that needs to happen this week. But I want you to go back and I want you to remember what God has done. And I want you to write it down. I want you to, you could use just a phrase, but I want you to remember how He saved you. Where was your life? What did your life look like back then? What kind of, Paul said that he was the chief of all sinners. Some of you were the head man. You weren't the chief. All right? Some of you might have been the chief. Okay? But begin to write these things down. Begin to write them down. Thank you, Father. Let's just take a couple minutes to do so. Give you a couple, about half a minute to wind this up, to write down what God has done for you. Heir of your salvation, His provision, His leading, His transformation in your life. Write those things down. Praise and worship team, could you just come? As you finish that up, I'd ask you to stand to your feet. Because I believe there's three things that God wants to do in our heart. And we're going to do the first thing right now. The Bible says this: it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And one of the ways that we don't forget is to speak of what He's done. And so right now, we're going to sing Tulemi Totela. Thank you, Lord. But before we do, I just want, with our own voice, out of our own heart, I want us just to thank God specifically about those things on that piece of paper, the things that He has done for you. Amen. Just right now, the fruit of your lips, give Him thanks. Father, we thank You right now. Father, I thank You that You did save me. Father, that You forgave me for being such a punk and for being a liar. And being so insecure, God, I thank You that You made me into a brand new person. God, thank You for Your leading, that You've guided us, Father, every step of the way from one place to another, Father, not knowing what was ahead of us. Father, the people that we needed to meet, the people that needed to be there. Father, You've been so good. Father, for Your provision. My. Manna from heaven. Every day, something to eat. Every day, mercies that are new. Every day and around every bend, Father. Lord, not even knowing, Father, the most unlikely sources. Father, You've been so amazing, Father. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank You, Father. Father, for transforming, for growing, for dealing with stuff, Father. Oh, let's just lift our hands to Him. Let's just lift our hands. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, it is a good thing to bless His name. Father, we thank You today. We thank You today. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good, Father. Oh, You've been so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sing this chorus, I want to invite you. There are two things that God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you hope. Some of you have allowed your hope to grow dim. Maybe the circumstances, maybe the devil's lies. And without hope, it's not worth waking up in the morning. But God wants you to hope again. And He wants you to go from hope, and He wants you to enter in the rest of today and tomorrow with strong faith. To be able to boldly say what David said, that God is the right hand of my God will lead me through. and to be able to proclaim His promises over your life. Amen. Let's just lift up our hearts and our voices right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please continue just to thank God. Just continue to minister to Him right now. But some of you here today, as you look around, you see some real sincere people about the things that God has done for them. That God truly, truly brought us out of the miry clay. And He put our feet on a rock to stay. Perhaps you're in this place and you realize, you know what? I really can't sing that. I really can't thank Him. You're still in Egypt. You're still in that place of bondage. 2,000 years ago, Jesus broke the power of the devil over your life. He redeemed you. But you have to accept that and you have to receive that. Salvation has been purchased, but it must be received. I can't receive that for you. Your parents can't receive that for you. There's not a single person on the earth that can do that other than you. And right now, God is reaching out to you. And if you're not born again, if you're not a child of God, the wonderful good news is you can be. God is waiting for you. God loves you. God cares about you. And no matter how far you've drifted, He can fix everything in your life. The Bible says He can redeem your life from destruction. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. Maybe you've, in a way, turned your heart and your ways against God and against His Word. And you realize you need to come home like the prodigal son. Come home today. Come home to a God who will cleanse you and throw you a party. A God who forgives. A God who restores. If that's you right now, and you say, Pastor, I need to receive Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to come home to Him. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand and say, that's me. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I'm tired of running from God. I'm running to Him right now. That's you. Where are you right now? Just raise up your hand. Say, Pastor, today I'm receiving Jesus Christ. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Say, that's me. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? You can leave that place of bondage. You can leave that wrong place and know Jesus Christ personally. Anyone else before we pray? God loves you. He cares for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, young man. While we're standing, I would ask every single person that lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, grab whatever you brought with you to church and just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you individually. I want to shake your hand, and I want to introduce you to the most wonderful person in the whole world, Jesus Christ. And he'll come into your life right now. So just leave where you're standing right now and just come and meet us up front. We're going to pray, and God is going to change your life. Bible, if I were going to give this to you as a gift, how would you get it? How would you get it? You'd reach out and receive it, right? So you don't have to pay for what God has given you, but by faith, we're going to pray a prayer and we're going to receive from Him. Are you ready to do that? You ready? All right, so just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Congregation, let's join our hearts and our faith. Let's pray this prayer together. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart. Live your life in me. I call you my Savior. I call you my Lord. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin. And I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wonderful, wonderful. We're so glad.